Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. A special report, Pass the Politics Pappy, the Rise and Rule of W. Lee O'Daniel.
I like mountain music, good old mountain music, played by the real hillbilly band. I like bread and biscuits, big white fluffy biscuits, my dear old ma just makes them grand. We like to sing and play and try to make folks happy. We hope you'll say, please pass the biscuits, Pappy. I like mountain music, good old mountain music, played by the real hillbilly band.
W. Lee O'Daniel was a two-term Texas governor and a U.S. senator, but before, during, and after that, he was a flower salesman on the radio with a hillbilly band. O'Daniel ran for governor as a successful businessman who said he was sick and tired of the professional politicians and fed up with corporate media. The political establishment thought O'Daniel was just a joke until he beat them and changed politics in Texas.
Well, he was a flower salesman who figured out early on that radio was a good way to not only sell flour, but sell himself, and got himself elected governor of Texas.
He was probably the worst governor we ever had in the state of Texas. He was probably one of the worst senators. He didn't know how to get things passed.
They accused him of peddling wang-doodle music, flap-doodle poetry, and doodle-bug statecraft.
He was a carpet-bagging, shyster, general manipulator, a pretty fair little songwriter at times. Master showman, he was one of the first to utilize mass media of the day to bamboozle the public.
He was probably the most ineffective governor Texas has ever seen.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Many people are familiar with the portrayal of Pappy O'Daniel, played by actor Charles Durning, in the 2000 Coen Brothers film, O Brother, Where Art Thou?
And gentlemen, here and listening at home, the great state of Mississippi, Pappy O'Daniel, Governor, want to thank the Soggy Bottom Boys for that wonderful performance.
While the Hollywood treatment of O'Daniel is entertaining, it pales in comparison to the historic figure. The real McCoy O'Daniel won the Texas Governor's Mansion twice and a seat in the U.S. Senate with the help of hillbilly music and the power of radio.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Again, the W. Lee O'Daniel Flower Company of Fort Worth, Texas, is glad to bring you another of your programs by Pat O'Daniel and his original hillbilly boys.
In Depression-era Texas, the only entertainment that many people could enjoy was the radio. Many lived in rural areas too far from a movie house, and even that required money to buy a ticket. But during the Dust Bowl days of the absolute grinding poverty of the 1930s, it was radio that ruled. And the most popular radio program in Texas was Pappy O'Daniel and his Hillbilly Boys. It aired weekdays at 12:30, and it was said that one could walk down the street of almost any town in Texas during lunchtime and hear O'Daniel mass communicating from every window.
Pappy O'Daniel got on the radio in the early 1930s. He was selling flour.
Bill Crawford is the author of the book, Please Pass the Biscuits, Pappy, and the co-author of Border Radio, Quacks, Yodelers, Pitchmen, Psychics, and Other Amazing Broadcasters of the American Airwaves.
Nowadays, you don't think much about selling flour, but back then, every woman, most women, made their own bread. So flour was a huge, huge staple commodity. And back then, Texas was a rural state, a poor state. Many people didn't have electricity until the middle of the 1930s. There wasn't a lot of industry down there, and Pappy emerged as one of the great radio personalities of that era. He appealed to people who were poor. He appealed to mothers because he was selling flour. He mixed religion with his own music and with sort of commentaries on the day and how things were getting bad and they could be better.
Before he was Pappy O'Daniel, he was Wilbert Lee O'Daniel, born March 11, 1890, in Malta, Ohio. His father, who fought for the Union in the Civil War, was killed in a workman's accident when O'Daniel was just a toddler. After his mother remarried, the now blended family moved to a tenement farm near Arlington, Kansas. These early years were ones of hard work and uncertainty.
Texas was very much part of a colonial economic system. Small farmers, a lot of farmers who didn't own their own property, they were growing for someone else, sharecroppers, and Pappy appealed to them. And in the late 1930s, he appealed to them particularly because they were looking for a nice, calming voice and a very, very successful businessman.
Mary Margaret McAllen is a Texas historian and the author of I Would Rather Sleep in Texas.
And he was a hardworking guy himself. He had come up from nothing. He had started as a stenographer and got very quickly and rapidly successful in the flour business and had moved to Texas seeing a great opportunity.
In 1925, O'Daniel went to work for the Burris Mill in Fort Worth as the sales manager. One of his jobs was being in charge of advertising for the flour manufacturer. Radio advertising was still new and unproven, but he was pitched a radio show with hillbilly music to help sell flour. If O'Daniel had done nothing else with his life, this event would have at least given O'Daniel a footnote in history, Texas music history, because the members of this band included fiddle-playing part-time barber Bob Wills and a singer Milton Brown. With Pappy, they became the Light Crust Doughboys, but in later years, they would become stars and the creators of a genre of music known as Western Swing. Ray Benson is the band leader for Asleep at the Wheel.
He formed the group with Milton Brown and Bob Wills and Herman Arnsberger. Anyway, all the seminal people of Western Swing, the folks who invented it, and had them in the band selling flour from the Burris Mill. Well, he also had them loading flour trucks during the day. He and Bob didn't get along, and there's many stories of their conflict.
He didn't like musicians very much, so he said, yeah, I'll hire you, I'll sponsor your show, as long as you work a 40-hour week at my flour mill.
Ann Richards told me a great story about listening to the noon broadcasts. They would huddle by the radio and wait for Pappy O'Daniel to come up, and then she sang the theme song, we're the Light Crust Doughboys from the Burris Mill. And, that it was just the highlight of their day, because here was this amazing thing coming out of the ether, you know.
And the Light Crust Doughboys are on the air. Now listen, everybody from near and far, if you want to know who we are, we're the Light Crust Doughboys from Burris Mill. If you like the way we play, listen while we try to say, we're like the Light Crust Doughboys from Burris Mill. And all day long,
yes, sir,
we're gonna sing the song.
Ain't it
if you get the song,
oh,
you can't go wrong. And how we wear a smile, make things right, make it happen for
hey,
you tonight. We're the Light Crust Doughboys from the Burris Mill.
He hated hillbilly music until he figured out how popular it was.
Music historian Carrie Janelle says O'Daniel was at first reluctant to get into the radio and music business. He didn't even like the music that he was sponsoring.
He actually fired the group after about a week when he first started the sponsorship. He hated the music. So he withdrew his sponsorship. And then when they realized that they were getting a lot of attention from the public, he reluctantly came back in.
O'Daniel quickly took to radio broadcasting. He made himself the announcer of the show and began writing poems and speeches to read on the air and also songs for the band.
But he couldn't read music, and he couldn't write music. So what he would do was take these poems and set them to familiar melodies. So Beautiful Texas is a song that he was most often associated with. This was taken from a poem that he had written, and he adapted it to a popular song called Just Because. And all he did was change the meter of the song to 3/4 time. He did the same with a song called Put Me in Your Pocket, He did a song that was became his theme song, which was Pass the Biscuits, Pappy. That was based on I Like Mountain Music. So that was the way he did this. But he never sang. He was always just, at most, he was a station announcer. He was not present at any of his group's recording sessions either. They did that on their own. The leader of the band was Leon Huff, who was the singer on all of the recordings.
You've all read the beautiful story of the countries far over the sea, from whence came our ancestors to establish this land of the free. There are some folks who still like to travel to see what they have over there. But when they go look, it's not like a book, and they find there is none to compare. The beautiful, beautiful Texas, where beautiful blue bonnets grow. We're proud of our forefathers who fought at the Alamo. You can live on the plains or the mountains, or down where the sea breezes blow. Still and beautiful Texas, the most beautiful state that we know. You can travel on beautiful highways by the cities and villages.
Well, Daniel's association with Bob Wills and Milton Brown didn't last. They didn't get along at all, and then after they broke up, O'Daniel got nasty.
Of course, you know, the famous story of when Bob Wills left the Light Crust Doughboys and went to WACO in Waco. He said, "We're the Texas Playboys now." Formerly the Light Crust Doughboys. Well, O'Daniel sued him for $10,000 and also said to the guy in the station, "By the way, I ain't buying no more radio time." So he went to WKY in Oklahoma City. Same thing. The Burris Mill was a big advertiser. And it wasn't until he got to Tulsa, far enough away, a flyer company from Kansas, I think, said, "Well, we'll make Playboy flyer," because he had gotten pretty famous on the radio. It was the same thing, utilizing the media to sell flyer. And that's how he got out of O'Daniel's grasp.
And O'Daniel's employment with the Burris Mill was also ill-fated.
He was fired as from Burris Mill promoting Light Crust flyer because he was doing more on-air work promoting himself than he was the flower. So they fired him in 1935, and he started his own flower company called Hillbilly Flower.
All the while, Pappy kept broadcasting in order to sell his Hillbilly Flower, which was just repackaged flower from around the state. Daniel had learned the power of product branding. Meanwhile, the Depression continued in Texas and across the United States, and people were having a tough time just surviving.
Now, towards the end of the 1930s, things got really bad in Texas. People were really poor. The economy was super poor. It was based on exporting agricultural products. And by the late 1930s, the people in Texas, they hadn't seen many of the benefits of the New Deal. And they were independent. They were frustrated with the people in Austin. And they were looking for a strong leader they could trust.
In 1938, James Allred was wrapping up his second and final term as Texas governor. Allred was a solid supporter of President Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal anti-poverty programs. Allred, the 33rd governor of Texas, had a reputation as a stable, serious politician who had worked his way up the Texas political ranks. And there was no reason to doubt that the 34th governor would be any different. But that was until O'Daniel had a radio show in late April. O'Daniel told his listeners that he had received a letter from a blind man asking him to run for governor, and he asked his listeners if he ought to.
Pappy announced that his run for governorship was basically a publicity stunt. He announced it on his radio show. And then the next week, he claimed that he got 59,000 letters saying, "Go for it, Pappy. You're the man for the job." And he got four letters saying that he shouldn't run because he was too good for the job. So that's how he actually got into it. And then he said, "Well, maybe I ought to do this thing. It's not me who wants to run. It's my listeners and my supporters and all the great people in Texas who are just forcing me to run because the politicians are so corrupt."
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're remembering W. Lee Pass the Biscuits Pappy O'Daniel, how he went from radio flower salesman to the most powerful politician in Texas. Lou Mallory is the chair of the Wood County Historical Commission, and she remembers as a child going to see a Pappy O'Daniel political rally in East Texas.
I can remember that it was quite exciting, and everyone wanted to go, and they always had it on the courthouse square. At that time, the courthouse sat in the middle of the square, and he would come at night and bring his musical group with him, and they would play, and then he would talk, you know, and they'd have a rally there. And of course, I was just a child, but it was always fun because there was always a crowd there and the music you liked.
Pappy O'Daniel approached his approach to politics was the way that he sold flour, with lots of hucksterism and lots of music, and filled the airspace with himself.
There were 12 candidates on the ballot for the Democratic primary race for governor. Conventional wisdom predicted that the eventual winner would be either Railroad Commissioner Ernest Thompson or the Attorney General William Crawford. At first, the newspapers ignored O'Daniel or downplayed his prospects, but when thousands of enthusiastic supporters began turning out for O'Daniel's musical rallies, they began to realize that O'Daniel was a real threat.
So the establishment came after Pappy. They accused him of peddling wangdoodle music, flapdoodle poetry, and doodlebug statecraft. I mean, they came after him hard and heavy.
Again, please pass the biscuits, Pappy author Bill Crawford.
And they just despised Pappy, but they couldn't do anything to halt his momentum for the first gubernatorial election because he had so many supporters that just came directly to him. And it's interesting because the political establishment were astounded because O'Daniel had never been registered as a Democrat. He was previously registered as a Republican. He had never voted in an election in Texas, and he wasn't eligible to vote because he hadn't paid his poll tax, which you had to pay at the time. And Pappy said, well, I know I can't vote in this election, but that means I'm only losing one vote.
Well, Daniel also told crowds that he never paid the poll tax because he never found a politician who was worth $1.75. The poll tax issue was one that would vex O'Daniel throughout his political career. He said he opposed it, but while in office, he never took action to drop it. Many today assume that the poll tax was in place as an instrument to prevent poor African Americans from voting, but the Texas white power structure didn't need a poll tax to do that. It had the U.S. Supreme Court, which in 1935 unanimously ruled in Grovey v. Townsend. That ruling supported the Texas Democratic Party's whites-only primary rule. The court reasoned that the political party was a private club and could decide who it should offer membership to. The poll tax was actually in place to keep poor whites from voting and to prevent another rise of a Granger-style populism in Texas. But with O'Daniel on the stump, the state was seeing a new brand of populism, and some feared there was a resemblance to the popularity of fascism that had risen in Europe.
I think Pappy O'Daniel was really one of the first to expose the fatal flaw of democracy in Texas, which is the voters. The voters really didn't care about the political process or what the politicians would deliver. They voted for the guy they thought was entertaining and was against the establishment. And that's not necessarily a good reason to support a candidate, because most of the time when an anti-establishment, pro-business, fear-mongering guy gets into office, he doesn't do anything. Or if he does something, it's generally bad. And you think of the prototypes in the late 30s, similar guys were appearing in Europe who really didn't turn out to be good, effective political leaders.
He was sort of the first celebrity governor. He was a radio star. That's how he got elected. He said, if you folks will write in and ask me to run for governor, then I'll run for governor.
Chuck Bailey is the former chief of staff for Lieutenant Governor Bob Bullock and the author of Picturing Texas Politics.
He ran on the platform of increased old age pensions, making sure there was never a sales tax, doing away with capital punishment. But in fact, he didn't pass hardly any legislation. His promise to do away with the sales tax was certainly not followed. And in fact, he tried to pass what was called a transaction tax, which in fact was a sales tax that had been written by the oil industry. In fact, another story that I was told that kind of right to that point, there was a state senator back in the late 30s named Manly Head. And Manly was telling me that he gave a speech on the floor of the Senate that was critical of the transactions tax. And in fact, he wrote a song, and he called it Transactional Taxes, and he said it to the tune of Beautiful Texas, which had been written by Pappy O'Daniel. He said the next week on the radio, Pappy O'Daniel came on, and he said, Leon, who was one of his musicians, he said, we need to play the Sweet Hour of Prayer for that senator from Stephenville with the Hitler mustache. And Senator Head said they came in his district during the next election cycle and beat him like a drum.
And his slogan when he ran for governor was, less Johnson grass and politicians, more smokestacks and businessmen. So he was running on a pro-business, let's get rid of the politicians and let's let businessmen run the state. His platform was the Ten Commandments.
His opponents tried to label O'Daniel as a carpetbagging Yankee, but Pappy countered with the concoction that the Lee in his name was in honor of Confederate hero General Robert E. Lee.
So he went and brought a big truck and his band, and they held rallies over the state. And these rallies wound up being the biggest political rallies ever in the state of Texas in terms of the numbers of people. 26,000 people in Austin. That's in 1938. If he was passing through a town that he didn't plan a stop for, people would get in the middle of the road to stop his truck, like Tiananmen Square Tank, so that he'd play a song or say something to him.
O'Daniel told supporters that forces of the Texas establishment desperately did not want to see him elected governor and that they had spent $1 million to try to beat him.
And it didn't make any difference what anybody said about him. It didn't make any difference who ran. He had the most powerful people in state government and in Texas politics running against him.
Another appeal to the voters of the day was O'Daniel's assertion that his campaign was being funded solely by the people and not by big money interests that controlled the state.
When he was working one small town, a guy put in a $20 bill. He'd reach in and say, who put this $20 bill in this barrel? And he'd hold it up, and some sheepish man would raise his hand saying, you know, I did. And he said, that's way too much. A dollar is just enough.
This worked so well that O'Daniel actually turned a profit off his campaign, and then he announced that he would be donating that extra cash to the Red Cross's flood relief.
When Lee O'Daniel first announced he was running for governor, the political establishment, they thought he was a total joke. He only started running 6 weeks before the Democratic primary, which decided who was going to be governor. They soon learned that it wasn't a joke. And when he started drawing those crowds, the political machine said, oh no, what are we going to do now?
Leading up to Election Day, it was clear that O'Daniel was the top candidate with the voters, but the establishment was betting that he'd fall short of the outright majority and then they'd get him in the runoff. But that was not to be. The flower salesman got 50.7% of the vote.
The future first family of Texas, the Wilbert Lee O'Daniels. Mr. O'Daniel's sweeping primary victory over 11 Democratic opponents is tantamount to winning the governorship. O'Daniel barrels lured campaign cash with the slogan, flour, not pork. And Texas takes the 46-year-old flower salesman at his word. His circus-like showmanship flabbergasted old-time politicians. With a bus and a band, he crooned his way to victory.
Got that million-dollar smile. It's the latest thing in style. You know, it's in my walk, and it's in my talk, and it's with me all the while. And I've said skidoo to those hard-time blues, and from here on out, I'm a smiling through. I'm a happy child, and I'm running wild, and I got that million-dollar smile.
And newspapers across the nation took notice.
Boston Herald. The nomination and prospective election of Hillbilly O'Daniel as governor of Texas adds another to the long list of political curiosities like Every Man a King, long. The Baltimore Sun. Our pride in our system of popular representation suffers a setback whenever we see a candidate win by using such tactics as were employed by W. Leo Daniel. The Cleveland Plain Dealer. If this is what Texas wants, who is an outsider to quarrel with her choice? The O'Daniel family can be trusted to give plenty of pep to politics along the Rio Grande.
Next for O'Daniel was his inauguration, which in pure Pappy fashion was the biggest anyone had ever witnessed.
His inauguration for governor was a big to-do. It was so big they had to move it to the University of Texas football stadium. There was a big parade. I mean, it was a big to-do.
One woman attending the inaugural ball wore a gown made from sacks of hillbilly flour. Even Life magazine took notice, dedicating a 4-page pictorial spread to the gubernatorial hootenanny. However, in the following issue, there was a letter to the editor that tried to set the record straight.
Sirs, your layout of pictures on the inauguration of W. Leo Daniel brought forth a nausea, somewhere to that experience when one is forced to take an overdose of castor oil. Just for the record, all Texans are not for O'Daniel. In a moment of hysteria, Texas went to the polls with the strains of beautiful Texas ringing in their ears, and when the ringing had subsided to just a dull ache, there was O'Daniel. When asked about the tax and pension situation, he praised the beauties of mother love. Sandy West, Austin, Texas. Life magazine, February 1939.
After O'Daniel was swept into office, Pappy mania was in full swing in Texas. Newspapers across the state forgot about their feud with the now governor and realized O'Daniel sold papers. They then ran a multi-part series extolling the biography of Pappy. And under O'Daniel's instruction, communities across the state organized committees to select what kind of factories they want to come to town. And now songs were being written about him, calling O'Daniel the Blue Bonnet Governor.
The book I told the sunflower, I think you ought to know, that Governor Lee O'Daniel was born in Ohio. You know our sons are famous, history speaks of them. So tell the Texas Blue Bonnet, Ohio's proud of him. He's the Blue Bonnet Governor. The people all love him so.
But the honeymoon didn't last, especially with the Texas legislature. Soon O'Daniel would be back at war with the newspapers, broadcasting from the governor's mansion via the Texas-Mexico border, fighting communists in Texas, and he even devised his biggest scheme yet that would take him to the U.S. Senate. That's next week on Texas Matters. We'll also hear uncovered recordings of O'Daniel that haven't been broadcast in over 70 years. A special thanks to Bill Crawford, author of Please Pass the Biscuits, Pappy, and co-author of Border Radio, Quacks, Yodelers, Pitchmen, Psychics, and Other Amazing American Broadcasters. Crawford is now working on a documentary called Outlaw X about border blaster broadcasters like Pappy O'Daniel. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You can also comment directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. And that's where you can find past Texas Matters programs to listen to, and you can find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.
Singing songs to the man with the flower, and the blue bonnets kept their promise, for he's governor of Texas now.